there's often a common pattern when it comes to people going from nothing to super famous. The 27 Club, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, or they just fall off and fall into drugs and drug abuse and things like that. Why, from an evolutionary perspective, we clearly crave recognition and status, but why in the modern day can't our brains seem to deal with it that well for many people? Why is there no, I don't know, just evolved strategy to cope with so much attention?
Yeah, I mean, I've not really thought about that question very much before, but my kind of first pass take on it is that the scale is so different now. We often talk about the mismatch between the ancestral environment and the modern environment,
yeah,
and how social media being one example, right, in the attractiveness issue. But when we think about what it would have been to, like, what it would have meant to have had status or being really popular in the ancestral environment, it's not anything like the scale of what we're talking about now. If you think about famous people now, like, you can't go anywhere without people recognizing you if you're really famous in a celebrity kind of way.
Yeah.
And that would never have really been the case historically. Like, even if you were really famous, you were famous amongst a few thousand people. So you had status and everybody would say hi to you or recognize you, but it wasn't like this kind of sense that everybody cares what your business is, everybody's evaluating you, everybody's critiquing you, everybody's got an opinion. And I think the biggest problem are people who listen to the opinion, because especially for women, like, a lot of the critique will be about the way you look, right? And so then you run into all these plastic surgery things and people doing all this kind of stuff. And it's, and then they just look fucked up, right? Eventually, because you just get too much stuff done. And, but you would never before, you couldn't change it if you wanted to change it, right? So some of it is that we have, like, all of these things that we can do to fuck ourselves up that were not present in the ancestral environment, right? We have way more people weighing in on stuff, and their opinion seems to matter, even though you're never going to interact with them. And again, as originally, everybody's opinion did matter because you weren't going to interact.
Yeah.
Now, somebody online can say that you're this and you're this or that, and whatever, and it affects you because you're still taking it personally because that's the environment that we were in. But again, it doesn't matter. Cat needs to get out of the way. So I think that's part of the problem, right? It's just the scale is ramped up to a level that we are not adapted to deal with. I think that, again, status means something different now. I think that it means resources and attention that we might have thought would make us happy. But do we really understand what makes people happy? I'm not sure that people... So here's my take on it for whatever it's worth. I don't think people evolved to be happy. I don't think natural selection drives us to be more happy. It drives us to reproduce, right? Yeah. And so things that lead to reproduction are often the things that make us happy. If you talk to older people in their 80s and 90s, what makes them happy? What made them happy? Their children, their grandchildren. Ozzy Osbourne recently passed away. You see all the pictures of him with his family. I'm sure that what made him happy in the end was his children and grandchildren, right? That's what gives life meaning. That's what tends to make us happy. Status is a way to get to that, but status in and of itself tends not to make people happy, right? It's nice to have money and it's nice to have people admire you, but in the end, is that what makes people happy? I don't know that the research suggests that it does. So in a sense, natural selection has shaped all of these adaptations for survival and reproduction, but not necessarily to make us happy. So I'm not sure that we're really good at that.
Yeah.
Better than others, right? And some people become very successful and they seem to stay mentally healthy, but there are a lot of them are the people who stay away from the limelight and the social media aspect of things as well. If you think about Hollywood people that tend to be, that stay away from drugs and stay away from alcohol, and stay with their partners and stuff, they tend to be the ones who have stayed away from the limelight in a broader sense. And I think that if you listen too much to the mob, that's a huge downfall for people. And I think that in that sort of, if you thought that it was going to make you happy and you got it and it didn't make you happy, that's going to be the pathway to drugs and alcohol abuse. That's going to end up with dead before their times people as well. Because even just looking at, like, years and years ago now, I did a study with a couple colleagues, Jess Keeman and John Townsend, on hooking up on campuses and hookup culture and people's reactions to it, whether people were happy or whether it caused depression, right? Or made people more anxious. And what, and a lot of people said guys are happy and girls are unhappy about it. And maybe, but really the main reason some girls were unhappy with it is because they wanted a long-term relationship and that's not what they got, right? They hooked up with the guy thinking maybe it'll work out and the guy didn't call the next day kind of thing. And so it's a mismatch between the motivation and then the behavior, right? And so if what you think is going to make you happy doesn't make you happy or doesn't get what you wanted, then I think it's even more likely to cause things like depression.
Yeah. And it seems with that example, you'd almost, you're expecting yourself to be happy after it and because of it, but also to have subconsciously, maybe subconsciously, evolutionary mating success from it as well. Because if you're having that hookup, that's going to increase your chance of having offspring. If you don't want it in that exact moment, I guess subconsciously, you're going to get rewarded for that. But then you're also getting the happiness as well. You expect the happiness as well, and it doesn't end up happening. So your mind, does your mind always trick you with the motivation?
Yeah. I don't know whether it's much tricking you, but I think that, you know, when, so if I think that one of the differences, so for, say, for example, for guys, again, like if some of what you're interested in is just sexual opportunity, then that thing is a good deal, right? That's a good filter to have. But if women are just, they're at that stage of life where they may still be exploring a little bit, but they're also starting to get interested in the long-term mating, and maybe they think this guy is good, is a good option, and they're thinking maybe if the sex is good, then, you know, maybe this is going to turn out into something else, and it doesn't, then that means you didn't get the goal you wanted. So it's like, what is your goal in engaging in the behavior? And if it's just sex, then it's not going to, then you're going to be happy. But if it's more than just sex, and that more doesn't materialize, then I think it's more likely to result in things like depression. And I think it can be even worse for women in the, if the sex is really good. Because if the sex is really good and you get that big oxytocin bump from a nice orgasm and it makes you feel attached to the guy and then he doesn't call you, that probably is even worse. So your physiology may not be helping you. The best case scenario would be if you hook up with a guy who isn't going to call, but you have bad sex with him. And then you think, oh, yeah, that was good because he was a loser anyways, and it wasn't good sex. Really good sex and the sort of oxytocin bump that comes with it probably makes that even worse as a situation if he doesn't.